ever since the end of former President Michel Sleiman's tenure in May 2014, Lebanon has continued to function without a head of state. The country faces turmoil on its border with Syria due to the presence of foreign-backed Takfiri militants, a Syrian refugee crisis, and a spillover of the war in Syria. Now, amid all this, Hezbollah and Saudi-backed Saad Hariri's Future Movement have held talks to try and defuse tensions and pave the way for energizing state institutions. Stay with us in this edition of The Debate as we discuss Lebanon's political turmoil during these troubling times.
An atmosphere of cautious optimism prevailed over Lebanon after the resistance movement Hezbollah and the Western and Saudi-backed March 14 Future Movement held their first dialogue session in over 4 years. The step has been praised by various Lebanese officials who have indicated that the dialogue process has got off to a good start. Hezbollah, in its first comments on the issue, highlighted the necessity of such a step as a means to strengthen the country against the menace of Takfiri terror.
Dialogue prepares the ground for a joint battle against terrorism that has become a threat to all. All sides, without exception, must become aware of this danger.
Lebanon has been grappling with the terror threat since the ISIL Takfiri terrorists established a foothold for themselves in neighboring Syria. Militants have tried to infiltrate the country and seize territory, as they have done so in Syria and Iraq. Hence, the party stated that a main topic in the dialogue will be diffusing sectarian tension, and therefore taking away one of the terrorists' most dangerous weapons.
I think it's for the benefit of all to work on, trying to stop at least the sectarian agitations between the different parties, especially the Sunnis and the Shia, because for about 10 years now we have been going through this, and what ultimately we have seen is bloodshed throughout the Arab area.
Aside from confronting terrorism and sectarianism, other subjects being discussed are the election of a new president and an agreement on a new electoral law. However, on these latter topics, agreement remains far from certain. The meeting between Hezbollah and the Future Movement by itself is considered a major breakthrough. It also reflects a realization by both sides that continued hostility would have disastrous repercussions. Ali Risk, Press TV, Beirut.
Well, let's start off by introducing our guest. Joining us from London is Sukan Chandan. He's a co-founder of the Tricontinental. And joining us from studios in Beirut is Salah Takiyeddin. He's with the Lebanon Future Movement. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us here on Press TV's Debate. Now, Mr. Takiyeddin, if I may, I'd like to start off with you. Now, despite having no head of state, Lebanon has continued to function with the presidential powers taken up by the Council of Ministers. Now, as political parties continue to squabble over a suitable candidate, how much uncertainty does the lack of a president add to Lebanon's political structure?
Well, let me say first, the country is not really working. Without the president of the republic, according to the constitution, he should be there. More than that, the national pact has the distribution of the sects on the presidencies. I mean, the president elect should be Maronite, a Christian Maronite, and he is the only Arab president in the region to be Christian. And the prime minister is Sunni, and the speaker is Shiite. So therefore, the presence of a Maronite president means, in fact, that there's a kind of a power sharing. You cannot run the country without the consensus among the sects in Lebanon. That's the importance of having a president elected as soon as possible. The constitution, which gave the power, the presidential power, to the cabinet, means that we have now a cabinet, 24 ministers cabinet. We have 24 ministers because any of the minister who objects on any decision and doesn't sign the law, it means it's blocked. It cannot work.
Right, Mr. Chandan, I'd like to bring you in and get your opinion on the fact that Lebanon does not have a president. 16 sessions of parliament have proved that there has been no consensus. Now, isn't the inability of the different political factions to come to a consensus an indication of a deeper ideological imbalance that Lebanon might be facing right now?
Good evening, sister, and to our colleague in Beirut. I'd just like to start off, especially considering what day is today, to convey my best regards to the long-suffering Christian communities throughout the so-called Muslim world, from Pakistan through to Iraq, through to Syria. And they basically been targeted systematically, they and others, by the mirror image supremacist death squads from white supremacist neo-colonialist Europe. And also Zionism is just another manifestation of that in so-called false Islamic garb. So I send my best wishes to them and to the other victims of the same death squads. To answer your question, I think you're implying absolutely the right thing, that this division in Lebanon is reflective of the deep, profound ideological rifts that we see that's been tearing Lebanon apart for some decades, if not a few generations. And the real live issue which is directly impacting Lebanon negatively is the NATO and allied induced conflict in Syria. And really, until and as a time comes that the Syrian issue can be resolved, and really there's basically somewhat of a stalemate in Syria, so perhaps these reconciliation so-called talks in Lebanon is a reflection and an indirect admission of the stalemate, with perhaps the Syrian government being at a slight advantage at this moment. So it's a recognition that the death squads in Syria, their spillover in Lebanon, haven't achieved the amount of strategic objectives that they would have liked, that the Syrian Lebanese border has not been permeated by these death squads and their allies in Lebanon as much as they liked, thanks to the Syrian Arab army and its global and regional allies, particularly obviously Lebanese Hezbollah, which is deeply implicated in Syria, which also, by the by, you know, implicating Hezbollah into Syria was a direct strategy and a clear strategy by the forces which have created the conflict in Syria to give Hezbollah several fronts. So when this death squad operation has been developing in Lebanon, which it has been particularly in the northern city of Tripoli, that they'll be strategically weaker. So these are some of the very complex navigation of politics that we have to conduct to understand the situation.
Mr. Taqi al-Din, I see you have a response. Does it really boil down to Syria?
Well, we cannot neglect the fact that Syria ran Lebanon or influenced Lebanon more than 30 years. Surely there's still a kind of influence over the Lebanese politics, but I don't think that what our colleague in London has just said is really applicable these days. I mean, the Syrians, they have enough to do with themselves. God help them. As far as the Lebanese are concerned, for the first time probably since 1990, let's say, we can as Lebanese sit down together and elect a president. That scenario could only be resolved if the two main candidates for the presidency accept the fact that they are not being consensual. I mean, history in Lebanon has always proved that the country cannot be ruled by one party. There should be a kind of a consensus on running the things in Lebanon. And neither of the two candidates can be that consensual president. Therefore, the dialogue that started between Hezbollah and the future movement is a very promising sign. No names will be discussed during this the dialogue. I mean, no candidates would be agreed upon between the two Muslim main parties to elect the Christian president. But at least there would be an understanding and a mutual agreement that a candidate to the presidency should be consensual, and that backing the Hezbollah backing of one candidate and the future movement backing the other cannot reach that consensus and that compromise and elect a president.
But Mr. Taqiyuddin, let me just jump in there. Let me just jump in there. As far as Syria is concerned, it underscores basically the different stances of the March 8th and the March 14th alliance. For example, we did see Saad Hariri come out and support the overthrow of President Bashar al-Assad. So this basically highlights the ideological differences that Hezbollah and the future movement will have to overcome.
Well, maybe they would reach the point where they would overcome their differences. The main differences between those two parties are not Lebanese. I mean, Hezbollah has an agenda, a regional agenda, and that's what bothers the future movement. Nothing internal is really that hard not to be reconciled about. It's the matter of the Islamic resistance weapons, the matter of the special tribunal for Lebanon, the matter of the involvement of Hezbollah in Syria. All are those deep differences between Hezbollah and the future movement. But they have agreed, they have pre-agreed not to discuss those issues and content themselves with solving what could be solved in Lebanon as Lebanese concerned parties. So the other matters are really matters of regional influences, and we have to wait and see what happens between Iran, Saudi Arabia, and probably the result would be, as we hope, in Lebanon, positive.